Hey, it's good to have Leroy Weyer with us. Come on up, Leroy. Leroy pastored in Scotts Bluff. How many years, Leroy?
18 years.
18 years he pastored, so roughly about, man, so you went there 2005? Yeah, so same time we came to Crete. I didn't realize that. He came out of the Norfolk area. That's kind of where he got saved and was part of the church in Norfolk. And then felt a call to ministry. And then took a lead pastor out in Scotts Bluff. And so I was the former assistant superintendent, but it was a part-time role, and we elected somebody to take it. We just shifted gears. They reformatted that. And so a full-time position. And so Leroy is the man. So he was the one that was selected. And so it's good. We took a trip out to Columbus, Ohio this fall in August for our general presbyter meetings. Got to do that. He is a archery hunter, as like myself, so we have some things in common. We both like to fish, and so we got a lot of things in common. So it's great to have you here, Leroy, and looking forward to what God has in your heart.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brent. Good morning. You know, I am in awe. I get to visit a lot of churches, and you guys got something going on here in Crete at Radiant Springs. And, man, God is working through you guys. This is exciting. The worship team, the youth, even the ministers in the sound board back there. Could you just, with me, give God a great big thank you in a hand clap of praise to him? Yes. Yes. And I've been humbled a lot, especially since the election, but humbled to serve alongside Pastor Brent and Pastor Toby, our superintendent. And I am just in awe that I can be counted with those men. And Brent, he has been an incredible leader, not just for this church, but for the state of Nebraska and the other areas that he's been in. And as he said, we went to Ohio, and I was the rookie, and he did a great job of introducing me to all the other assistant superintendents and just helped me to in the transition. And Pastor Amy is amazing too. They're just a power couple, and love it. Love it, love it, love it. Well, I'm married. My wife's name is Michelle, and as Pastor Brent said, I used to pastor in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, and she's actually the interim pastor, and her last Sunday will be the last Sunday in November because they elected a pastor, so we're grateful for God to bring in a wonderful couple into that church. Well, this morning, let's do this. Let's settle our hearts again, and let's pray. Father, I just, once again, am in awe of what you are doing here in this wonderful town, in this church, and because of what you're doing here, it is affecting the world. I thank you, Lord God, for the youth. The future is bright right now. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing this church. So we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to continue to speak into our hearts. And I pray that this message would be encouraging and increasing our faith and challenging us to step out and do more great things for you here in Crete. In your precious name we pray, amen. I've got an opening Bible verse, but we'll be getting into Genesis 26 will be our main text. But 3 John 1:2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So from that verse, it's obvious that God wants us to prosper. Can I have a better amen than that? I believe that God wants us to prosper. Amen. You know, I got saved in the late 80s, and it was at an older age. And, you know, back then, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have social media and all that stuff. Content providers, all we had was TV and the 3 channels, and we barely had remote control back then. The remote control was my dad saying, Leroy, go change the channel for me. Some of you remember that. So when I got saved, they had what we called back then televangelists. And the ones that we focused in on were the prosperity teachers. Now, when you say prosperity, there's a lot of different connotations that go on in people's heads. It's just like the word revival. We all have a different picture of revival, but it's the same way with prosperity. And man, I would look at those prosperity teachers and they, those preachers, and they were all good-looking people, had a beautiful wife, nice suits, a full head of hair, 20/20 vision, and they lived lavish lifestyles. And I says, man, that's what I want right there. Because being newly saved, I was into the material things. And how many of you know that material things and wealth are just a small percentage of God's prosperity? But if you were like me, you're a shortcut kind of guy. Man, my wife, Michelle, she threatens to always take the credit card away because I got something always coming from Amazon that's going to help my life be easier, especially in the diet department. If there is something that I can drink, if there is a pill that I can take so that I don't have to do exercise, sign me up. But you know, for God to prosper you, there aren't any shortcuts. There aren't any shortcuts. It's you have to roll up your sleeves and do the work. And so, you know, just like dieting, yell out some diets out there, some really famous diets. Come on. Keto. Come on. What's another one? Atkins. South Beach. What? Carnivore. You know that I had to get on all three of those diets so I could get enough to eat, you know? And I figure, you know, with those diets, they say if you start a new diet, you can remove 10 pounds of water. So with three diets, that's 30 pounds of water, but it wasn't working like that. Well, you know, you're looking at me and saying, yeah, look at that guy there. Cool. Look at that. All said and done, only thing I got out of that was a beautiful wife. Because by faith, I have a full head of hair. By faith, I have 20/20 vision, you know. And by faith, you know, I'm just the same size that I was when I graduated high school. I was hunting up where I grew up, and I met one of my high school friends and hadn't seen them in 30-some-odd years. They go, boy, Leroy, you've gotten bigger. That's not, you're supposed to say, boy, you haven't changed since high school, right? You want people to lie. Prosperity back in the 80s and 90s. That's all I heard as an immature Christian was, give me, bless me. I read the scriptures that they preach, you know, and those were give me and bless me. But there weren't, I didn't want to look at the other scriptures that say, be disciplined, be a good steward, manage what God gives you. No, I just wanted the fast track. You know, if you had enough faith, how many of you heard that? If you had enough faith, well, what I always say is before faith, be responsible. Be responsible. Then you can start off on your faith track. Faith is just another subject that I love, but faith, in a nutshell, is believing and obeying God's word. Just can't get around it. So, it's you know, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the Bible says that there was a shortcut to the promised land, but God would not take them that way. And so there aren't any shortcuts. We have to do it God's way. Amen? Amen. Psalms 1:1-3 reads this. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he or she does will prosper. Man, I love that. I wish I had a Hammond B organ right now. That would get me preaching. That was a James Brown kind of scream. You younger people have to Google who James Brown was. So I want to get to my main text in Genesis 26. And this is the verse about Isaac. Isaac was one of the patriarchs of the Jewish faith. As you know, sometimes hear the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Abraham had 14 chapters, and God appeared to him 8 different times. Jacob had 11 chapters, and God appeared to him 3 different times. And Isaac mainly had 1 chapter, and God appeared to him 1 time. The next chapter is just him setting up the story of his 2 sons. So in Genesis 26, I want to start reading. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Ahimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you." See, Egypt, there was more food down there. Egypt, you had the Nile Valley. And so it makes sense. Okay, if there's no food here, let's go to Egypt where there's a possibility of more food. But God says, don't go to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. I don't think this is up there, but Deuteronomy 11, 13, and 14 says, "It shall be if you earnestly get these, obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil." Now, this is AG, you know, Assemblies of God, so, you know, your new grape juice. We have to put that in there. Can't have wine, okay? But God says, if you trust me, I will give you the rain so that you can grow a crop, but you have to trust me. And I love that in Genesis also it says, God did not send the rain because there was not a person to till the land. So God is looking for people to prosper, to bless, to send the rain so that you can grow something in your spirits that will affect the physical world. See, Egypt represents the world in most cases. Egypt is when we get saved, what we want to return to when things get going tough. And I just want to say this. When you get saved, if you were like me, being saved that first 2 weeks was the loneliest place there was. Because I knew I couldn't go back to my worldly friends because they would just get me in trouble, but nobody from the church was coming alongside of me and befriending me. See, I love that you have, man, a wonderful core group of teenagers, because being a teen in these days is tough, a lot harder than when I was a teen. Could I have a better amen than that? Love on your teenagers. Befriend those new Christians. Befriend those new Christians. Egypt. Jesus said in John 3, you cannot see the promised land, or you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And when you're born again, when you get saved, when you give your life to Christ, then you can start seeing the kingdom, the goodness of God working in your life, the transformation that's starting. But like I said, when things get tough, then we want to revert back to what God is there, what we found security in, and God's trying to break that security in the world. It'd be like this. Who's a good cook in this place? All right. What's your name? Mary Beth. Love it. Mary Beth. Well, Mary Beth, let's say that God just blesses you and you prosper and you have your own restaurant, you know, and you're in your restaurant, and all of a sudden you hear a commotion in the alley. And you go out there and you peek your head out into the alley and you see me in a dumpster fighting two cats for a chicken bone. You'd be going, what in the world is going on here? She's following, man, she's right there. So she goes, Leroy, what are you doing? She knocks the chicken bone out of my hand. She goes, come on in to my restaurant. So I come in and man, my eyes just get big because man, over here, there's all kinds of German food, Spanish food, Italian food, soul food. And of course, for the teens, you know, there's pizza and chicken strips. You know, I call them chicken fingers. I used to take my kids to an expensive restaurant. What do you want? Chicken fingers, chicken. Yeah, okay. So all this food, and Mary Beth says, Leroy, God has blessed me so greatly that you can come in here and have your three meals every single day. And I go, really? She goes, really? And I'm looking around and my tongue comes out like Scooby-Doo and licks my forehead. She goes, you can eat anything. I go, anything? She goes, anything. Anything? Anything. And I look at her and I say, can I eat garbage? What would you think she would call me or thump my head probably and say, garbage? But the Bible tells us that taste and see that the Lord is good. Why would we ever want to go back and eat garbage? That's Egypt. Stay with the Lord. Stay away from garbage. You said you'd never do that again, but you still have that website in your favorites. You said you'd never meet anybody from that site again, but you still have that app in your phone. You said you'd never do that again, but you still got it hidden in your toolbox in the shed. Taste and see that the Lord is good so that he would continue to prosper you. Prosper you. See, the other thing that Egypt represents is sin. The Bible tells us that sin has pleasure for a season. We wouldn't do sin if it wasn't fun. I'll amen for you. Amen. But sometimes we just want to dabble in it. Sometimes that was our escape, what we used to do. Sometimes that gave us that security. Sometimes that met a need in our lives. In the Baptist church, they were baptizing, and in the Baptist church, they wear a white robe. And as the preacher was bringing out of the water this attractive young lady, her robe just slightly slipped off her shoulder. And he goes, if anybody looks on her, you'll be stricken with blindness. And the 95-year-old man on the front row said, I think I'll risk one eye. But that's what we want to do. We want to risk our salvation, risk God blessing us for just that one little morsel of sin. Stay in Egypt. Stay in the kingdom of God and stop eating garbage. Verse 3 says, dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands. And I will perform an oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply like the stars of heaven. Spoke that to Abraham, right? Multiply like the stars of heaven, building the kingdom of God one person at a time. And I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice, get this, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. He made that promise to Abraham. God keeps his promises. Okay, that's a good place to lock and load an amen. I'm gonna read it again. God keeps his promises. Okay, we got enough here. The Bible is his promise to us. The Bible is his promise to us. Get this. In the Old Testament, it was God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Get to the New Testament. Get this. It is the God of Jesus walking as a man on earth, the God of Paul, and the God of Leroy. So I want you to say out loud where you think your name should be. If you say it on Jesus or Paul, then Pastor Brent has a problem. He's going to have to talk with you. Okay, here we go. New Testament, the God of Jesus, the God of Paul, and the God of... Boy, that was weak. One more time. I know, boy, I hate those preachers that Brent brings in and he makes us do stuff. The God of Jesus, the God of Paul, and the God of Leroy. Real good. A lot better. You understand this, that the book of Acts, when you read the book of Acts, it has no formal ending. The book of Acts is going on right now. You and I are in the book of Acts. And it's only up to us how many times God visits us like he did Jacob and like he did Abraham, like he did Isaac. We can have numerous visits of the Holy Spirit, especially since he's living inside of us. We can do great exploits for the Lord. That's what he wants. He is looking for someone who can show himself mighty too, who is obeying his statutes, his commandments, his word of God. Okay. Jacob, I'm going to just go through this real fast. Jacob had a trust problem with God, and it manifested in the lying. He went down to Egypt, or not Egypt, the Philippians. Who did David take on? The Philistines. Yeah, that guy. Thank you. He went to the Philistine king, and the Philistine king saw Isaac's wife, and man, she was a babe. You know, she was good looking, and he started to flirt with her, and he said, "Is this your wife?" And Isaac said, "No, that's my sister." And he lied, and God dealt with the king of the Philistines in a dream and said, "Man, this is your wife." See, there's that trust part. If God said it, believe it, stand on it, and do it. Amen? Okay. God wants us to prosper, but we must know his commandments and obey his commandments and be led by the Holy Spirit by following the example that Jesus gave us. Verse 12, I want you just to fasten your seatbelts because here it comes. Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped that same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now, in the offering, I want you to take note on this. I gave a dollar. I really gave generously. So, Pastor Brent, you know, when I walk out here, I should get $100 back. But... This is incredible. Isaac sold in the land and reaped the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 13, and the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and had great numbers of servants, so the Philistines envied him. The man began to prosper. He took his seed. God says, this is your seed right here. Start planting it in good soil, in the good soil of your heart, and it will begin to grow. I will give it increase. I will bring the rain and the latter rain. So if you take the seed of God and start knowing it and planting it in your life, then you're going to become prospering. Grew in knowledge, developed godly character, deepened in love for God, for himself, and for the love of others. Then, very prosperous. This is where you become very prosperous. You find the joy in giving out of your life's abundance. You find the joy in giving of yourself. You find the joy of giving God your time, your energy, the gifts and talents that he put in you. So that Crete, Nebraska, Radiant Springs, assembly of God can prosper. When Jesus got the attention of his disciples and he looked out into the multitude, and it says that they were ripe, ready for harvest. And he says, I want you to pray to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. He's not saying, man, go out there because there's a lot of stuff, material stuff that you can spend and waste on yourself. No, it's about people to prosper. My wife works for the Nebraska Department of Labor. And when a company asks her to send her laborers, let's say, you know, that they run a backhoe, she doesn't look up somebody that worked in McDonald's to send. She doesn't send a dental hygienist. She doesn't send a gardener. She sends somebody that knows how to run a backhoe. Well, that's what God is looking for, equip laborers. And if you're very prosperous, then man, you're wanting to give of yourself and what God has given in you. The kingdom of God grows in money is just the smallest thing. The smallest thing. It's all everything that God has put inside of you. When I started studying the Bible, knowing the Bible, doing God's things, and trusting in Jesus and being led by the Holy Spirit, my attitude changed. My mental state changed, my character changed, my worship changed, my physical health changed, my bank account changed, my giving changed, and God remained the same. He says that, man, it gives me pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Jeremiah 29:11, going to close with this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. My favorite NFL team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't get to watch them, but when they're on TV, it's usually when I'm preaching on a Sunday, so I will DVR them. And so when I get home, and I don't preach fast, I don't try to, it's good, they're waiting for me. And so if they lose, I don't watch them. If they win, I watch it. Because I know that they can fumble and lose the ball on the goal line. They can throw an interception in the fourth quarter. The time might be running out and they're behind, but I know one thing. They win in the end. God has a future and a hope for each and every one of you. Let's lock and load another amen. God has a future and a hope for every single one of you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm doing the preacher thing. I forgot one thing. The next thing for prospering, 2 Chronicles 20:20, and I will close with this. And the worship team can come up if that's the way we're going. 2 Chronicles 20:20. So they arose early in the morning, went out to the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went to Jehoshaphat, stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper." God has blessed Radiant Springs with a wonderful prophet, Pastor Brent, Pastor Brent and Pastor Amy. And if you will listen to them, you will be established, and you will prosper. They're the ones that are praying for you. They're the ones that are invested in you. They're the ones that care and love for you. And they're the ones that know the seriousness of taking care of God's people. Take care of them. Hallelujah. Pastor Brent.
Amen. Thank you, Leroy. Amen. Chris, can you put up that passage in 3 John? That was at their beginning. Yeah. Actually, it's in the NIV too, but I like it better in the King James, New King James. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Early on in ministry, in our first pastorate, we went pastor two places, really. There's a lady that moved from Seattle area, And she married this guy from small town North Dakota. I mean, just a real small town. And she had been part of the Assemblies of God, and so they started coming to church. But this is one of her favorite passages. She's been with the Lord a long time now, but she really poured into my just who I was, just as a young pastor. And she'd always, this is her favorite passage, that, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Isn't that a great thing? That God can go before us. And I think prosperity sometimes can be taken to mean sometimes just material things. But really, when you look at the Old Testament understanding of it, it was that God would go before you and grant you favor. And so it might, we see with Abraham and Isaac and Joseph, God did prosper them financially. But he also blessed them in a lot of other ways, right? And so it has to do with our health. It has to just do with our relationships. That he will go before us. And that's a beautiful prayer that that I would like to pray over you this morning. Is that okay? And before we do that, though, I just like to lead us in a prayer of salvation. I try to do that every week. And Leroy brought out the fact that, you know what, many times people want the blessings of God, but they want to go their own way. And you can't do that. It's one or the other. If you want God's blessing in your life, you have to walk with him. You have to walk with him. And if you don't have that relationship with him, God isn't going to keep you on the outside. He died on the cross so that we all could know him as our Lord and our Savior, have the forgiveness of sins, have the hope of heaven. So if that's you this morning, I want you to pray with us. We're all going to pray. But it specifically, mean that in your heart begins the process, the journey of walking with him. So can we pray together? Dear God, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Be my Lord and my Savior, and walk with me each day of my life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And Lord, I pray that you would be with each one here today, Lord. Lord, may they prosper, Lord God, and may their soul prosper, Lord God, as they walk with you, Lord. May they see the provision of God, whether it is a prayer over their family, over their friends, maybe over their health, Lord God, provide for their material needs. God, you know all those things. And Lord God, there's times that we can get pretty stressed and anxious over those things, myself included. But Lord God, you have promised to go before us, to grant us favor, to provide for us, and that your goodness would run after us, Lord, all the days of our life. I like that expression. We don't have to seek him. We don't have to wear ourselves out. Lord God, we follow you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and your blessings will chase after. That's my prayer for your people this morning. That's my prayer. May their soul prosper. And may you prosper them in every way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Would you stand this morning as we close with this song that talks about that? Amen. Denise, take it away.
I love you, Lord. No, your mercy never fails me. The goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am, I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, my darkest night. You were close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend.
Just not words to song, that's God's word. Amen. It's God's word. I had some that respond just wanting to agree in prayer for things. I'm gonna ask Christy just to stay up here, but if you have a prayer request this morning, just make your way over here and she'll pray for you. Lord, we thank you for the promises of your word. Lord, we thank you that you walk with us, Lord God, through the ups and downs of life, through this life, Lord God. Lord God, we don't always know what the next day holds, what the future holds. Sometimes you reveal those things to us. But one of the things you have promised is that you would walk with us each and every day. And that your grace, your mercy would always be enough, that you would supply all of our needs according to your riches in heaven. That is your word. Paul says, I know what it is to have plenty, and I know what it is to be having want. But my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And Lord God, bless us, Lord God, our souls. May our spirit prosper, Lord God. May you pour out your Holy Spirit upon our lives, Lord. Lord God, may you grant us favor in our earthly relationships, Lord God, especially so that we can share Christ with the world around us. Open up doors, Lord God, that we cannot open ourselves, Lord God. I pray your hand of healing over our physical bodies, Lord God. The prayer of faith, James says, will make the sick person well. Lord God, provide for our financial needs. And Lord God, we pray for our nation. Lord God, you've called us to pray for our leaders, for our nation, and we do that this morning, Lord. Be with our country. Be with our country this week, Lord God. Let us do our part to vote and to pray above all things. Pray, Lord God. And Lord God, that we can trust you with the results, Lord God. And Lord God, go with us this week. Let us be salt and light in our world. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. In your name we pray. So we do have some visitors here. So it's good to have Victor and Yolanda here with us from Costa Rica. So they're going to be here for a few weeks. And they laid such a good foundation in our Hispanic congregation for so many years. And now we're starting to see that fruit. We're just seeing that God's blessing them. And it's good to have Mary Beth here, but she does have a little package with her today. And her granddaughter. And she would be probably more than happy to show her off. And she already has long, dark hair already. Oh, I guess. All right, come on up. All right. She doesn't care for the lights much, I know, yet. But, and pronounce her name for us.
Kalani.
Kalani. Kalani. There you go. And, all right. So, praise God. God bless you this morning, and go in God's grace.